Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm doing okay, other than this another horrible Met loss that we're going to get into very soon. But you guys know the deal. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. So feel free to voice your opinions on any of these following topics. You know, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to lead off with baseball, talk about the Mets, the horrible state of the Mets right now, and the bullpen. Stop me if you haven't heard this before, especially if you've been, you know, listening to this show for the past 11 years. We're going to get into that very soon. We're going to talk about the Yankees, you know, doing their thing. We'll get into that as well. WWE, Sasha Banks is, finally joins Bayley as a double champion. We'll get into that. Bray Wyatt attacking Alexa Bliss after the, at the end of SmackDown. And what I think that will mean for a potential Braun Strowman versus the Fiend Bray Wyatt rematch. And also Tom Thibodeau. You know, he had his press conference a few days ago. We'll talk about that since it's now official.
Yep.
But most importantly, the number's 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to, let your voice be heard, whether you agree or disagree with me. You know, me and Mac would love to hear what you guys have to say. But, let's go right into baseball. And the million-dollar question right now is, should the Mets trade Edwin Diaz? And it's as close to a slam dunk question as you could get. The obvious answer is yes, the Mets should trade Edwin Diaz because this guy has been a bust. You know, he clearly can't pitch in New York. I mean, he was dominant with the Mariners in Seattle. Had 59 saves.
Mm-hmm.
Career saves, and then get traded to the Mets last year, and he didn't have not even one back-to-back save. I think he had 26 saves, but he blew seven of them. He's been horrible. Do I think the Mets should trade him right now? Should the Mets trade him? Yes. Do I think the Mets will will they? I don't think so, because right now, if you trade him, it's at the worst possible value you have for this guy, because this guy in Seattle, he was an elite, for that season, he was an elite closer. If you trade him right now, with his confidence being shot, you're not going to get anything for this guy. My solution would be to just use him as a six-inning guy. Or you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't. I clearly do not trust him as the closer. I don't trust him even as a setup man. You know, with this team. It's a terrible state of the bullpen, right? To be honest with you, Mets lost by the final score 7-1 today. Michael Walker, he pitched horrible. I mean, Posse, what's a Fonzie from, you know, from Muppets. You know, he'd be, you know, he'd be disappointed with Waka Waka pitching the, pitching the way he was, you know, in this game. I mean, as good as he was in his first start, that's how horrible he was in his this start tonight. I mean, he pitched like Rick Porcello, you know, in that that first game. Actually, yesterday, I should say, because yesterday he was two outs away from potentially recording a victory. The Mets, man, they blew a 6-run lead, and I mean, the Mets. I mean, what can I say? They had. I'm trying to think who homered. I think it was Nimmo who homered. Cespedes had like this big hit yesterday, and then the bullpen. Because Porcello didn't pitch good, they had to go into the bullpen early. Lugo didn't have it. Betances didn't have it, and they, you know.
Oh, Betances was bad too.
Yeah, man. It was like 10-6, I think, into the eighth or so, or 10-4. I can't even remember. And then the final score was 11-10.
Wow.
Typical Mets, man. It was just like that game against the Nationals last year where they blew, for the first time in Met history, they blew a 7-run lead last year against the Nationals. And, of course, we know what happened to the Nationals later that year. And if you don't believe me, ask the Astros. And it's just this team, man. I can't even blame Rojas for this. It's the people who I blame for this is the Wilpons for nickel and diming the fans, and Brody Van Wagenen, who for the most part I haven't had any problems with him really. You know, I like the people that he hired around him and their aggressiveness, drafting players and making sure they get signed and all, you know, and all that stuff. But the reason why the Mets are struggling right now is because they don't have a legit manager. And it's not to say that Luis Rojas won't be a good manager in the future. But we just went through that whole song and dance with Mickey Callaway, who was arguably the worst manager I've ever seen, not only in Met history, but period. You know what I mean? Like, it just goes without saying. Like, and to me, this falls on the Wilpons not going after Girardi. This also goes for Brody Van Wagenen not, you know, making the effort to try to go after Girardi because he wanted to hire a guy that he could exhale with, meaning that I guess he felt Girardi would be too demanding because, you know, Girardi has that reputation of, you know, being a great manager, but sometimes he rubs people the wrong way because of his I guess he sticks to the books and all that stuff. To me, if you're about winning, you got to get the best possible person, and that's exactly what happened to the Jets with Adam Gase. Also, they settled. They could have got Mike McCarthy, but instead they got Adam Gase. And I don't know what's up with my teams, man. They just settle for less, and then they wonder why they haven't won a championship in 30 plus years. 30, 40, and soon to be 50 plus years with the Knicks and whatchamacallit. The Jets haven't won a championship in 50 years. It's like it's a joke. It's an utter joke. But
yeah.
I mean, what's your thoughts on basically the Mets? Do you think the Mets should trade Edwin Diaz? What's your whole thoughts?
Well, you know, Edwin Diaz, yeah, he's clearly not meant for New York. You know, he, like I said, it was either last week or the week before where I said he looks like one of those guys that don't have the mentality to play here, you know, in the bright lights in New York City. And we've seen tons of guys who come here who haven't performed, you know, in New York. You know, they've been great in other places, but once they come here, it's an entirely different story. You know, whether it be Eduardo Alfonso, whether it be I don't know.
I hope you're not talking about Edgardo Alfonso.
No, not Edgardo Alfonso. I'm talking. What's the guy that you wanted to? You always wanted him to be a man, and he came here and on the perform. What's his name?
Let me try to think. Who could this be?
I think he was an infielder.
Who could this be? This is a. How many years ago was this person?
Oh, this was years ago. This was like early 2000s. This was a Hall of Famer. There you go, Alomar. Yeah, Alomar. There you go. Alomar.
I mean, Mets have a horrible record with second basemen. I mean, especially like established second basemen. I mean, they've been hard. The only good second baseman they've had probably is would be Edgardo Alfonso.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, other than the championship years that they had. But other than that, like, they have a horrible record when it comes to second baseman.
Yeah.
Star second baseman. They come to the team and then they're all washed up.
Yeah, it's like, you know, well, you know, there's guys here who come here, I don't know if there's just the big market that they're just intimidated by, but Edwin Diaz seems like he's one of those guys, you know, and I don't know if it's going to change. So Mets might as well just, you know, trade him and get some assets, you know, young assets, you know, for the future. Because I know there's a lot of teams that could use Edwin Diaz, you know, and Mets could get some draft picks out of it. So I do think they should trade him, you know, this year. You know, don't wait until next year. Do it this year, you know, while we have a shortened season. And maybe have a Betances or someone else close, you know, because right now Diaz is a bust. You can't put him. You can't trust him in a big game, man. You can't. I wouldn't trust him in the big game at all. So you definitely got to trade him right now. And the last great closer the Mets had, do you know who that is, Will?
In
my opinion,
probably Billy Wagner. Oh well, I mean, Familia was great that year until the World Series, so. I guess I would have to say Familia, even though he did kind of choke in the World Series. But leading up to that, he was a very good closer.
You might think I'm crazy, but I think Mejia was a great closer for you guys.
Who?
Mejia.
Yeah, Mejia was good.
I thought he was a great closer. I thought if it wasn't for his shenanigans with the PED, he could have still been a closer till now, probably.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was one of the rare players to get the three strikes and you're out.
Yeah, so I thought he was the last great Mets closer. You think about it, that shutdown closer where, you know, it's over. He wasn't that shaky, if I remember, was he?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd have to remember, but I don't really think he was that shaky. I mean, I really liked him.
Yeah, I liked him too for you guys. I thought he was good, you know. He didn't give you, like, you know, migraines like Benitez or Looper or Familia.
I mean, that's historically even K-Rod. You know, there, you know, a bunch of them that closes, you know, been like that. You can even put the, you know, arguably one of the greatest closers of Mets history, and not the greatest, you know, Don Franco in that thing too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy, you know, closing in New York.
It's not. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of guys do get intimidated by that. You know.
But yeah, just. Diaz, man, I don't even know what to say. Like, I just think it's too little too late, man. They're just stuck. Because if they try to trade him, they're not going to get any value back for him because everybody knows he's unreliable. And they give their top prospects for him. Kalenic, who's this guy, you know, outfielder who could really hit. And they gave him up. And then they got back Cano, which, I mean, Cano showed some flashes of, you know, of his great hitting here and there.
Right.
But, yeah, man, Cano was like, what? How old is he? Like 37, 39 years old? I forgot how old he is.
Yeah, he's up there around
probably
that age.
Probably 39, you know.
Yeah.
And he's playing, you know, he wants to still play second base, you know. Which, I mean, he's okay, but, you know, Father Time, you know, is catching up.
Yeah.
You know. Man, that's just the. So, yeah, man, Lord knows what the Mets are going to do in the future because they really need to shake things up. But them not trying to go after Girardi or at least an experienced coach is what's buying them right now. You know, Rojas is going through growing pains, you know, as a manager. Will he be a good manager in the future? Possibly, but after going to what they went through with Mickey Callaway, there's no reason why they should have had him. They should have hired an inexperienced, you know, manager. So it is what it is. I think gears with the Yankees. You know, as usual, the Yankees are doing well. They put a hurting on the Red Sox. Yeah, and Yankees, you know, they beat up on the Orioles, and their season was impacted by the Marlins. Like at least 17 Marlins people affiliated with the Marlins have been getting you know. Sick with the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
and the Yankees
yep.
were one of the teams that were affected directly. I think Mets are going to be playing them soon as well. But yeah, what's your thoughts on the Yankees season? Their typical hot season so far.
They are what we thought they are.
Mm-hmm.
No, they are what we thought they were. I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been playing well. You know, they're on a 5-game winning streak right now. You know, they've been hitting a lot of home runs, you know, as usual. Aaron Judge hit a home run again for the third straight game. Gio Urshela had a grand slam tonight after, I think, did Luke Voit have a grand slam today or is it, no, yesterday or the game before? I can't remember, but Luke Voit had a grand slam in one of those games. One of the last couple games. But the Yankees, they're playing real well. Pitching has been decent. I mean, Cole, he's been Cole, you know, very dominant. You know, he's only allowed that, two home runs so far in the season, but those are the only two runs that he's given up so far. Other than that, he's been very dominant. Tanaka looked good today, although the manager only let him pitch two games. So he didn't really go that far. Eventually, you're going to see him pitch more innings.
He only pitched two innings?
He only pitched two innings, yeah. He got in trouble there in the second inning. So then the manager, you know, got him out. I don't know why he got him out of the game so early. You know, maybe just to give him a rest because, you know, he did get hit in the face with that baseball in one of the exhibition games. And this was his first game back since. So maybe that could be it, to just, you know, give him a little bit rest for, you know, future games that he'll be pitching. I don't know. I don't know what the case was. Because I think he could have still went, you know, three more innings at least. But pitching still kept the Red Sox locked down. I mean, Red Sox are not a good team this year. It looks like they may be even tanking, you know. You guys, the Mets just swept. Didn't you guys sweep them at Fenway?
Yep.
And then they came here and swept you guys?
Yeah, that's what the record said. I mean, if the Mets would have played well and kept the bullpen, you know, had a decent bullpen, they would have swept them at home. But,
yeah,
I guess the only silver lining is that we swept them in Fenway, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we whipped their butts, you know, like 86, you know. But, hey, if the Mets bullpen would have did what they would have done, they would have swept them all four games. But it is what it is. Just another long season for the Mets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, it's still it's a short season, but we still got a long way to go. You know, but the Yankees look good so far. You know, 6-1. You know, it's pretty much how I imagine the season would start off. You know, guys, some guys still aren't hitting yet, but, you know, still 7 games in, so.
Yep.
So far, so good.
So far, so good with the Yankees, as always. So we'll definitely keep you guys posted if we we even have a season because of these constant coronavirus outbreak. And, you know, the commissioner, Manfred, said if these outbreaks continue, he'll have no choice but to close down the season, which, unfortunately, that looks like a realistic scenario because every day it looks like a Marlins getting the coronavirus. I think there was two Cardinals that got it. So, yeah, it's really getting out of hand just with the Marlins alone. So,
yeah, the Marlins are trying to ruin the Yankee season.
It wouldn't be the first time. I think the if I'm not mistaken, Derek Jeter would know firsthand about
what
the Marlins did in 03. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, hey, we'll see what happens end of the year with the Yankees' typical fast start. But switching gears, a team that we both love, that we hope gets to a fast start player development-wise is the New York Knicks. And they made the right choice. They got the man they were looking for in Tom Thibodeau, you know, a no-nonsense, defensive specialist type of guy in Tom Thibodeau. You know, the guy knows firsthand what it's like to play tough games in New York as an assistant head coach with the Knicks, especially under Van Gundy. I mean, he was an assistant coach with the Knicks from, like, 96 to 2003. And then he would later win a championship with Boston as an assistant coach under Doc Rivers. And then he had, then he had, he also had a successful coaching, you know, run with Chicago. But unfortunately for him, his stop in Minnesota wasn't felt a lot. It was a very underwhelming situation. I think he did snap their playoff list streak that first year, but you know after that it was like downhill for that organization, and you know they got rid of him. But I think it's a good start for him. You know he's a local guy. I think he's from Connecticut. His family is grew up a Knicks fan. Obviously he was assistant coach on the Knicks right at the tail end of, the Knicks' dominance in the 90s. So, I mean, to him, you know, like he said, it was a dream come true. You know, he knows. He remembers when the Knicks, you know, when you said the New York Knicks, you know, the opposition used to shudder. You know, now they just snicker. But
mm-hmm.
I think he's going to get us back to
prominence.
Being a specialist on defense, you know, because that's the Knicks historically their calling card. You know, that was their calling card in the 50s, you know, when they went, when they lost three straights in the finals, you know, under Joe Lapchick, you know, the two championship teams in 70 and 73 under Red Holtzman, and of course the 90s Knicks teams, you know, under, you know, Pat Riley and Van Gundy. I mean, defense is in the Knicks' DNA, so they need to get back to the basics and, you know, play defense, share the ball. And that's why, you know, the development of these young guys like R.J. Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, even Ntilikina, and then, of course, the whoever's the potential that the Knicks are going to pick, which, you know, some people think it might be LaMelo Ball, but with the Knicks drafting history recently, I mean, you could even say ever since after the first draft when they drafted Ewing, you know, they never get the number one pick, man. It's always downhill. So
we're cursed. We're cursed.
Yeah. So until the Knicks win the lottery pick, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to assume that they'll get Ball, you know, or any of these guys, you know, top guys. You know, we'll see what happens. I think it's when is the draft happening? I think in October. Is it really this month or October? I forgot. Maybe October, I think. Let me go check. I think I saw it last week, but let me check to see when this draft is going down. Regain respectability. Leon Rose, man, he has to hit a bunch of home runs when it comes to drafting, trading, and acquiring talent, because, you know, until they have a strong nucleus of homegrown guys, none of these star players are coming. And I'm glad that the Knicks they didn't hire Jason Kidd with some long shot of them trying to think that because he's close with Kidd, Greek Freak would come over here. I'm glad that they took the best guy. But, you know, what's your thoughts, Mac?
Man, listen, I know people are hyping up Lonzo Ball. It's Lonzo, right? Or is it LaMelo? I keep forgetting which one is which. You like the Bella twins over there. Or these twins in this
LaMelo.
Ball family.
LaMelo. Yeah, Lonzo
Ball.
Is the one that's already in the league.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, if we get him, we get him. You know, but I'm not going to be, like, celebrating or throwing a parade, you know, if the Knicks draft him. You know, because Knicks have been a comic relief like Lucille Ball. So, you know, I could care less right now. The Knicks, I like the hiring of Tom Thibodeau. I really like that he's come back, and hopefully he can preach these young guys some defense because Knicks haven't played defense in 20 years. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he can implement a defensive philosophy with this team, and then the offense will get going. So it's a great hire. Now you got to draft. You got to draft better now, you know, and get these young guys to play up to their potential. And maybe the Knicks can go somewhere. You know, I sent you that article today. Knicks are the third most valued franchise. Think about it. Third most valued franchise, and we haven't won anything since 1970.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, like, wow, they're third most valuable franchise, they probably would have won 20-something championships.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Yankees. Nope.
Yep.
We only have, what, two or three to show for it, whatever?
Two,
yeah, like
70 and 73.
We got something's got to change. This has to stop. It has to stop with getting coaches every year, you know, not going to the playoffs, winning 16 games every year. There has to be a change now going forward. You know, and hopefully this Thibodeau hiring will, you know, will be a step in that direction, in the right direction.
Yeah, man. Amen to that, man. And hopefully things will change on Friday, October 16th, because that's when the draft is coming. So Knicks got to make sure that, well, I mean, I like the hirings that they hired behind the scenes. To try to turn this team around. But, you know, now it's time to put up or shut up. You know, they got to develop the players that they already have already and, you know, draft, you know, because the Knicks, man, Superman ain't coming to save them. You know, not even Clark Kent is going to sign with this team. So they gotta get their act together, because they need two supermen. They need two superstar players to come here and change the dynamic of this team. Because other than 2013, when they had Jason Kidd and Tyson Chandler that 1 year, it's all been downhill. It's been completely terrible. You know, the NBA is a laughing stock. You know what I mean? Like, the Knicks have been a laughing stock, man. You got little kids nowadays. They don't even know the Knicks was ever good.
Yep.
I mean, that's sad, you know. Kids don't know because they never seen the Knicks, man. Unless they're like huge NBA fans that know the history of the game and all that stuff. They're not gonna know that.
Shoot.
So they need to change the dynamic, and that's basically what I've said about the Mets too. Like, they really need to spend the money to go after the top players, but they gotta draft well, you know, or else it's just gonna be just another wasted season. You have a talented guy like Jacob deGrom on the Mets, and then you got, you know, these young guys and Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, man. You don't wanna waste their talent, man.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, look at Melo. Melo, now he's in Portland Trailblazers, man. You know, he's this close to not winning a championship. So, you know, that's why these New York teams got to get their act together. Or else a lot of these great stars are going to, you know, end their career, you know, like Patrick Ewing. Or my other boy, Mike Piazza, man, without a title, you know. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But on to WWE. And I don't know what your thoughts on that. The main event on Raw, it was Asuka versus Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a good match, and I really liked the ending, you know, because it showed the difference between Asuka and Sasha Banks. Like, Asuka literally, she sacrificed her opportunity to become champion again, you know, even though she lost her title in a controversial fashion at that pay-per-view event. You know, when Bailey, Asuka spit the green mist into the referee, and then Bailey, took the referee's jersey and counted, you know, 1, 2, 3 to give Sasha a tainted false victory as the Raw Women's Champion until Stephanie basically waved it off and made the title vacant, which, you know, Sasha legitimately won it on Raw because Bailey attacked Kairi Sane backstage, and that distracted Asuka. And basically, you know, Kairi Sane was calling for Asuka to help her, and Asuka legitimately got counted out to lose her opportunity to be to regain the title. And Sasha is now a double champion, just like Bailey, which is what I was saying since last week. If you're gonna give Sasha such a weird and tainted victory on, you know, at the pay per view event, with Extreme Rules, then you might as well go all the way. If they're gonna vacate the title, they should put the title on Sasha, which they did. And apparently, initially that wasn't their original plan. They were gonna make Asuka win the title back, which to me would have made no sense, because, you know, the only way it would have made sense is if the title change never happened, and the title never got vacant. The title would have went back to her. But since you know, Sasha was at the brink of history, which she did do finally on Monday Night Raw, becoming a doubles champion, being of the Raw and tag team champion. You know, now she holds both the titles, just like Bayley is the SmackDown and tag team champion. So they made the right decision. You know, what's your thoughts?
I didn't agree with the way the title changed hands. You know, I thought it should have been a clean win instead of having Asuka count it out and for Sasha to, you know, to get the title. It was a great match, but the finish I did not like. You know, I assume there's going to be a rematch at SummerSlam, you know, and maybe Asuka winning the title back, you know, this time with a clean finish, but I didn't like the way, you know, Sasha got the title.
So, which one would you have preferred? Would you have preferred Asuka win the title back or Sasha winning it, but cleanly?
I would have preferred Sasha winning it cleanly. Yeah. You know, that would have been, because right now it's still a tainted title, really.
Well, yeah.
That's how I look at it. You know, Asuka went to help her friend and then got counted out. I mean, that's not really a win to me. So that's two wins in a row Sasha can't claim. So
I see your point.
SummerSlam is going to determine, because I think they're going to, you know, most likely fight at SummerSlam at this point. And I think Asuka will win it.
Yeah, most likely. And then I guess I'll lead to Shayna Baszler. Oh, yeah, by the way, that was Kairi Sane's last appearance with the company.
Wow.
Yeah, she thanked, you know, the company, you know, like minutes after we all went off the air.
Wow.
So, yeah, apparently she's going back to Japan, you know. So, you know, best of luck to her. But, yeah, I thought it was a good match. You know, I understood.
Yeah, it was a good match.
But yeah, but we'll see if this will lead to the eventual Shayna Baszler matchup. The other big news that came out of you know, WWE on SmackDown was Bray Wyatt had a Firefly Funhouse, and you know, after Nikki Cross lost her another title opportunity against Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss tried to console her friend after the loss, and Nikki Cross pushed her and walked away, which opened up the, you know, the opportunity for the Fiend Bray Wyatt to attack, Alexa Bliss with the mandible claw, which I think this right here is going to lead to Braun Strowman coming out of the water and officially challenging, the Fiend for a title. Because, Braun Strowman, you know, it was well known that he had a thing for Alexa Bliss because they were teaming up, you know, in the mixed match challenge, like from a few years ago. And then Bray Wyatt in the horror, the swamp match, the Wyatt swamp match, he made a, you know, he basically had Sister Abigail take the form of Alexa Bliss to lure Braun Strowman back, you know, to the Wyatt family. And then that's when Wyatt basically attacked him and won the Wyatt Swamp fight. So this also led to the reawakening of the Fiend, and this will lead to a title match at SummerSlam. Even I don't think it's official yet, since we haven't seen Braun Strowman yet. But what was your thoughts about the, you know, Braun Strowman attacking Alexa Bliss and, you know, Nikki Cross losing the title to title opportunity to Bayley?
Yeah, that was crazy. The whole Alexa Bliss thing, and her possibly being now Sister Abigail. Yeah, although I think it's a distraction. Because you know who I think really is going to be Sister Abigail? Nikki Cross.
Oh, Nikki? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, I think she's become crazier, too, lately.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think the WWE's playing mind games with us with this whole Alexa Bliss, Bray Wyatt, Braun storyline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Nikki's going to end up being Sister Abigail and betraying Alexa Bliss. And mm-hmm. Braun is going to try to save Alexa Bliss. And
yep.
They might see maybe a tag team match, Braun and Alexa Bliss versus Nikki Cross and The Fiend, maybe.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I didn't even think of that tag team possibility, but yeah.
Yeah, you know. And Bayley, I'm getting tired of Bayley with her storyline,
mm-hmm.
you know. Her lesbian haircut and, you know, and her shenanigans. I can't take her seriously anymore, you know. I've been waiting for her to fight Sasha, but that looks like WWE's never going to have that angle where, you know, one of them betrays each other. So, you know, I don't know. Bayley, I'm getting tired of her already.
Yeah, Sasha Banks and Bayley are going to eventually fight each other, probably at WrestleMania.
You
think so? Yeah, not right now.
I think that should have happened already.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. I think that match is gonna happen at WrestleMania at the earliest. I don't think they're gonna with the whole double champion thing. I think they'll probably ride it out for a few more months, and then afterwards, then around SummerSlam is when they're gonna. You're gonna see the cracks a little bit. And then
yeah.
That Royal Rumble is when they really start feuding. Or maybe even right after Royal Rumble is when, you know, when the feud will really start.
We'll see. We'll see, you know, because I thought it would have happened at this year's WrestleMania, maybe.
Yeah.
Or not even at this year's WrestleMania, or, you know, one of the last pay-per-views, one of the last few pay-per-views.
Yeah, this quarantine, man, is making them rush a lot of storylines instead of them organically taking place. I mean, Braun Strowman has been fighting Fiend this whole entire summer.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, Bray Wyatt this whole entire summer. And Drew McIntyre, he's going to fight Orton. Which, I mean, I don't know. It just really doesn't do anything for me. And the rumor is Orton might win it, which to me, I felt if there was going to be a title, if he was going to drop the title, he should have dropped the title to Lashley. If Lashley never won the title. That would have definitely built up his star status and potentially to a Lesnar-Lashley match, but You know how WWE is, man. They never want to give people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is what it is. Let me see what happened. AEW, Keith Lee. You know he gave up his title. I think I spoke about that last week. But you know, as a result, he gave up the NXT North American title. So as a result, for the next 5 weeks, including, I think, this past week, basically they're going to have five triple threat matches in a row to determine who's going to compete in the ladder match to determine the new North American champion. So, I mean, that's basically the state of, NXT, really. AEW, Chris Jericho is teasing that there's going to be a shocking guest that's going to officiate over his and Orange Cassidy's press conference. I mean, I heard that, you know, who it possibly might be, but I won't spoil it for you. But you'll be surprised if, to see that this guy is back in professional wrestling, this person. He's a very controversial person, one of the most, I'd say, most disliked characters in wrestling history. But, you know, you'll see on Wednesday night if the rumors are true. You know, it'll be interesting. Also on AEW, Vicky Guerrero, she's going to be managing Nyla Rose, the former AEW Women's Champion, and now she's going to be teamed up with Cameron, who used to be a Funkadactyl, but now she's going by her real name, I think Ariana or Ariane. So now the former Cameron is now in AEW. Oh, yeah, another person who was in AEW is who made their debut is Zack Ryder. He's not in AEW, but now he's going
Zack
by
Ryder.
Now he's going by his real name, Matt Cardona.
Radio.
Yep, now he's in AEW. He helped out his longtime friend Cody Rhodes when he was about to get jumped, I think by the Dark Orders group, Luke Harper, who's now known as Brody Lee. His mask men, I think they jumped Cody Rhodes. They were gonna jump Arn Anderson, because Arn Anderson is, the coach of Cody Rhodes. Well, Cody Rhodes don't use his last name because WWE has the rights to it. So
right.
He's just Cody. Let me see. What else happened in AEW? I'm trying to think. Can't really think of anything right now. But, Cody Rhodes defeated War Machine. Let me see what else happened. I'm trying to think. Yeah, it escapes me for the moment. But yeah, I think there was like the final match of the night was what's his name? I'm trying to think. Jon Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, he was teaming up with Darby Allin versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. Basically, Taz has a new faction now. I can't even remember who won the match, to be honest with you. But I'm trying to see if I can remember who won.
Yeah, I'm still trying to, catch up with AEW and the NXT. What was I doing on Wednesday anyway? I think I was watching the Yankee game.
Yeah, Johnny Moxley and Darby Allin, they defeated Brian Cage and Ricky Starks.
Okay.
And, Best Friends, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, basically Best Friends and the Jurassic Express, I think is the name of their group. They defeated the Inner Circle. That's Jericho's group. Cody defeated Warhorse to retain the TNT's title. Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega retains the AEW Tag Team Championships by defeating the Dark Order. The woman champion, Akira Shida, she defeated Diamante. And basically MJF, he challenges Johnny Moxley in a presidential style. He cut a presidential type of promo, basically saying that he wants to challenge John Moxley for the AEW title. So should be an interesting AEW next week with
presidential style. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, basically he was pretending like he was the president doing a presidential address, standing on a podium, and he was basically challenging John Moxley, to get a title shot for the title.
Because
he hasn't lost a singles match in like 2 years. He did lose a tag team match recently, but he hasn't lost a singles match in like 2 years. So that was his take. Any last things you'd like to say before we head out?
No, just everyone continue to stay safe during this COVID-19, and hopefully, the commission decides not to cancel the baseball season and we have baseball for the summer.
You're the guy, man. Stay safe, everybody. Keep your mask on, keep your gloves on, try to make the most of your summer. It's August 1st already. It's about to be August 2nd. So try to make the most of your summer, and hopefully we'll see you guys next week. Same bat channel, same bat time, same bat station. Check it out. Sports Urban Legend. Every Saturday is at 11. And, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And we'll see you next time. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Mamo. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.